Long life is a blessing from God. Billy Joel had it wrong. It's not true that only the good die young. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 91:16, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Welcome back to Opening the Bible with Dr. Nick Gatzke, Senior Pastor of Old North Church in Canfield, Ohio. I'm your host, Brian Dolan. Today, we look at part one of a message from the book of Ecclesiastes called, To Those Who Are Young. Must be preaching to me today, Pastor, huh? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I don't know if you're young anymore, but at one point, Brian,
Okay, so this particular passage deals with life and how we approach it. And so often I've heard people paint the Christian life as kind of boring and miserable. Can I have fun?
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely have fun. And, you know, it is interesting that most of the people that I know who have painted the Christian life as boring and miserable aren't Christians. They're not actually living the life that they're critiquing. When I think not only is the Christian life incredibly fulfilling because we know the Lord and his nearness, but also that God gives us great freedom to enjoy the many good gifts that he gives us in this life. So yes, Christian, you can have fun, and God wants you to have fun. And we see some of that right here in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12.
Now, some people would even interpret, though, the fun has to be Jesus-centric. Are you saying we can find joy in things in life that are given to us that isn't explicitly a quote from the Bible or spiritual exercise?
Yes. Yes, we definitely can. I would like to think that as a Christian, my relationship with the Lord is central to who I am and everything I do. But that does not mean that you need to spiritualize every activity as such, that you can recognize that everything is a good gift from God. But taking these things on their face value, you can enjoy them as God has intended them to be enjoyed.
Sounds good to me. We'll find out all about that in this particular message, again, part one from Pastor Nick, called To Those Who Are Young.
What is the most important thing that you have forgotten? I wonder if you've remembered it yet. Some of us forget our keys occasionally. Pretty hard to drive your car without them. Some have forgotten their anniversary. That's the fast track to the doghouse. Maybe some of the students among us have forgotten the combination to your locker at school, rather embarrassing. Or maybe you have forgotten about that important test coming up, which could be rather painful. I read a funny story the other day about a man from Great Britain who forgot something rather important. The article in the newspaper began with this sentence. It said, "Heartfelt commiseration to Dorothy Naylor of Plymouth, whose recent day trip to Bridgewater was spoiled when her husband Oliver left her at the fuel pump of a gas station and drove 17 miles before noticing that his wife was not in the car. I couldn't believe he'd gone without me," Mrs. Naylor told the Western Morning News. "I usually sit in the back because I can move around more, but normally we talk to one another." The couple, both in their 70s, had pulled into the garage to change a tire. Mr. Naylor drove off and didn't notice his wife's absence until he had arrived in Bridgewater. After stopping in the town, he asked his wife, "Where do you want to get out?" When she didn't answer, he turned around and discovered that he had left her behind. The paper added that the couple had been married for 40 years. There are some things that you just don't want to forget. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about forgetting and about remembering when it comes to God. Because you know how it goes. You know how easily in your own life, you have the propensity to forget God. You get busy. You go about your life. You follow your priorities. You engage in your relationships. You press into your job or to your children. And days and weeks and maybe even months go by since you've given God a notice. And it's interesting as we think about the scriptures are applicable. All of the scriptures are applicable to all of us. But the Bible addresses certain people at particular seasons as well. And today's text, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and chapter 12, address those who are young. And it tells those who are young, don't forget. It says things like, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. And so this morning, we will all be encouraged and challenged in Ecclesiastes. But for those of you who are young, pay careful attention, because the wisdom here will have particular relevance to you. And so with that, follow with me as I read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting at verse 7 through chapter 12, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 says this, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and of the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed. And the doors on the street are shut. And when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up, the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. And the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we have covered a wide variety of topics about life and about money and about pleasure and about priorities and very plainly about death. And all of these things fall under the category of wisdom. All of them are designed to help you live the most meaningful life that you can possibly live while you are here on earth. And here in this text, we see a few exhortations and commands, and then this poem, this striking poem at the end of this section in chapter 12 that helps us to feel something. It's designed to help us to feel a sense of urgency with regard to the enjoyment of life and the remembering of God. And it starts, the first exhortation starts in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 11, and it's just very simply this, rejoice in the good things of life. We've heard this before in Ecclesiastes. The section begins by saying, light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes. Solomon is basically saying, life is good, so enjoy the good things of life. Enjoy your life like you savor a good meal. Enjoy your life like you enjoy the sunlight during a day at the beach. Likewise, verse 8, we see two words that will be repeated again a few times throughout this passage. He says, rejoice and remember. It's good to have a long life, Solomon says. Enjoy the many, many years that you may be here on the earth. Long life is a blessing from God. Billy Joel had it wrong. It's not true that only the good die young. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 91:16, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, says the Lord. And so for those of you today who are here and who are young, know that long life is a blessing from God. So strive for it. For those of you who are here who are advancing in age, perhaps part of verse 8 and your experience rings true that there are many dark days throughout the course of life, and yet at the very same time, rejoice with God that long life is indeed a blessing from Him, because there is so much in life that is good. There's so much worth living for. And that leads to Solomon's command. In verse 9, he gives the command to rejoice in your youth. He says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, the Lord will bring you into judgment. If you're here and or you're watching or listening and you're in high school, or if you're in college, or if you're even beyond those, but you're still a young adult, then enjoy this season of life. Enjoy the fact that your responsibilities right now are relatively small. I know that they don't feel like that. I know that you feel probably busier than you might want to, or that you have a job, a summer job you might not want to have, or that the pressures of school or homework or tests or projects mount and they are great, but enjoy the fact that your responsibilities today are less than they will be. Enjoy the fact that right now, this season of life, you have time to grow in relationships, in deep relationships with your friends. Enjoy the fact that you can do things with your body right now that you will not be able to do when you're older. Just listen to your dad when he gets up off the couch this afternoon. Solomon says to walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes when you're young. What does that mean? Well, that means that now is the time for you to explore, to have fun learning new things, to pursue some things that you want to try, some things that you want to do. Your young age provides you with opportunities that you will not have when you get older. I think sometimes in our culture today, we go through life and we prepare high school students and college students just to think about their days as all a precursor to their future. That you're only supposed to focus on what comes next without focus on what comes now. And as a result, all of your time, young people, should be spent in preparation for what comes next. And preparation for the future is good. And preparation for future is wise. But wisdom also says to not let these days go by without enjoyment as well. Now, at this point, many of the parents are squirming, and I'm sure some of the students are thinking about all the fun things they're going to do in the last week before school starts. But before we get too far, we need to look at the second half of the verse, which says, but know that for all of these things, God will bring you into judgment. God wants your young years to be enjoyable for you. But this doesn't mean that you don't have responsibility. It doesn't mean that you can simply do whatever you want without consequences. We live in a time today where that is the message. Do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. That's what constitutes true enjoyment. There are practical consequences, however, and they're obvious. If you break the law, you go to jail. If you live in an ungodly relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, then you have relational baggage and consequences down the road, and the list goes on and on and on. But beyond that, more than that, more importantly than that, we know that the Lord sees all. He wants you to have fun and to enjoy. But you also, if you're a follower of His, have a responsibility to Him. He judges our deeds. And young people, He will judge your deeds. They are not simply excused under the category of youthful passions or youthful ignorance. It's a sharp corrective in some ways. But it's a corrective that's not meant to temper your enjoyment. It's not meant to rain on the parade of your youthful years. It's a corrective that's meant to help you direct your enjoyment in the right types of ways. Verse 10 says that youth and the dawn of life are a vanity. It's a vanity because you can't ultimately find your meaning in your age or your station in life. It's like a fleeting vapor, a vanity, something that escapes, because no matter how hard you try to stay young, or no matter how hard you try to look young, you will get older. Nobody stays young forever. And so enjoy the life that God gives, recognizing Him before it's too late. When we move into the first part of chapter 12, we see the next command. Consider it with me. He says to remember your Creator. We come back to the idea of remembering. Throughout the Bible, we see that there's command after command not to forget what God has done miraculously for people, how He's delivered them and saved them, and not to forget the commands the Lord has given them. When Old Testament Israel forgot, they fell into sin. When they forgot, they fell into idol worship. When they forgot, they began to look like the cultures around them. But here He says in verse 1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. To remember God is not simply to acknowledge God with your head. It's not simply to put God into the category of memories. To remember God is to acknowledge God in all of your ways, in all of your choices, in an ongoing fashion. And notice how He commands them, the young particularly, to remember their Creator. He doesn't just say, remember God. He says, remember your Creator. To recognize that God is the Creator is to say that all of the things that I have here in this life to enjoy, with the sight of my eyes and the passions of my heart, all of these things were actually given from the One who creates. They come from Him. And so don't use them against Him. And this is where enjoying life and having a long life begin to come together. God gives many good gifts to young people. And when you do things in God's way, you will have a greater, a truer, a deeper fulfillment and enjoyment in them. Two examples of this are seen in Proverbs and in Deuteronomy. Proverbs chapter 3 is another book of wisdom. It says in verses 1 and 2, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. When you do things God's way, generally you have a longer life and more peace. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. When you do things God's ways, generally it goes well for you. Doesn't mean there won't be dark days, as he mentions, but your life generally is prolonged. And so I want to pause for a second and just acknowledge a common reality between young people, high schoolers, college students, young adults, and their parents. Students, for many years, many of you have felt like your parents were stifling your enjoyment in life. You hear a passage like this and you think to yourself, Mom, I knew that you had it all wrong this whole time. They put rules on you. There's rewards and consequences according to those rules. But here is the reality of the situation. That even though the relationship may have felt adversarial at times, your parents, young people, ultimately want the same thing you want. Even when it doesn't feel like it. You want freedom to do what you want to do and to enjoy your life. They want you to have freedom to do what you want to do and enjoy your life. They haven't been working against your freedom for all of these years. They've actually been preparing you for the type of freedom to enjoy your life as you choose. No parent wants their 30-year-old living in the basement, robbed of fun, robbed of joy, robbed of meaningful function. They want you to be free to enjoy your life as God has given it. But here's the thing. You weren't ready yet. You weren't ready when you were younger. You weren't able to make the types of choices that both have your enjoyment in mind while remembering your Creator at the same time. And so they've been helping you to get there. And the rubber meets the road when you go away to college or when you move out of your house for your first job or when you go away into the military service. How will you live in this freedom that God gives? Solomon says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember him before it's too late. You might feel like you have all the time in the world to sort out this thing with God, to eventually get your life together. But it gets harder the longer you wait. And at one point, it actually becomes impossible. So remember God in your dating relationships. Do things God's way. Treat one another with respect. Save yourself sexually for marriage. And you will have greater joy and pleasure in your relationship with that person and throughout the course of your life than if you went your own way. Remember God, he says to young people, in how you seek pleasure and entertainment in your free time. Remember God in what you direct your efforts to during the days that you have. Jesus speaks of the new life that we have through faith in Christ as in terms of abiding in him. It's a lot like remembering your Creator. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me or remains in me or remembers me, we might say, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now listen, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. See, when you remember your Creator in the midst of your pleasures, your joy actually becomes full. It actually becomes heightened. There's something there that wouldn't otherwise be there. And so Solomon says, enjoy the life that God gives you, recognizing him before it's too late.
Thanks, Pastor Nick. Again, this is Opening the Bible with Dr. Nick Gatzke. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes just get irritated by how much people are throwing around the word love. It's used to describe the weather. It's used to describe food. And it's used to describe your grandma. So, I mean, what do we do with this? How do we really know what it's like to love the way Jesus wants us to love? Well, we have a resource that will help you figure that very thing out. It's a book by Dr. Philip Ryken called Loving the Way Jesus Loves. And we'll give it to you as a thank you for your contribution to Opening the Bible this month. Go right now to openingthebible.org. That's openingthebible.org. Get your gift in, and we'll send you Loving the Way Jesus Loves by Philip Ryken. Opening the Bible is a teaching ministry of and is sponsored by Old North Church of Canfield, Ohio.